Morning, everyone. It's good to see you all here, especially those of you who are visiting with us. We have a large number of our own number who are not able to be here today, and we regret that. Some are out of town, of course, as references are being made to Katie and the surgery that she has been through. Others are ailing or shut in and so forth. So let's continue to remember all these people in our prayers. Today is, of course, Mother's Day, and we're very honored to have all the mothers with us this morning. And I think it goes without saying that one of the things that every mother likes to think about her child or children is that he or she is perfect. I have the perfect child. And if you don't believe that, just criticize one of those kids in front of her. You'll find out real fast that mothers have a particular care and concern for their children. But you know, historically and realistically, there's only one mother in all of history that truly had a perfect child. And we're talking, of course, of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And you would think that, boy, that must have been a cakewalk for Mary. You know, no problem. The perfect child. You know, just give me a chance to have that kind of experience. But I can assure you that Mary's experience as the mother of the world's only perfect child was not entirely blissful. In fact, she rode the same emotional roller coaster that all mothers go through in raising their little ones from infanthood into adulthood. So what we're going to do this morning is engage in a brief study of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And we're going to be looking at it from the standpoint of what being a mother meant to Mary. And I hope that every mother in the audience this morning can relate to what we're looking at in this study. And you can understand, you can put yourself in the shoes of Mary as she's dealing with some of the things that came with being the mother of Jesus, the Son of God. And you can appreciate that. You can relate to what she is going through. And at the same time, seeing how Mary dealt with her unique role should provide a lesson to mothers today on how they can be successful in their role as mother. So we're going to be looking at four specific ways in which being a mother had an impact on Mary, the mother of Jesus. The first thing we want to notice is that Mary experienced a high degree of excitement for the role that she had been chosen to perform as the mother of Jesus. If you would, look at back in Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 31, where the angel appears to Mary and gives her advance notice of what is about to happen. The angel said, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus." And I want you to notice now some of the language the angel uses to describe this son that will be born to her. Verse 32, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." How many mothers can lay claim to having a child that has all of those labels attached to him? This is the destiny of the human race that is riding upon her child. And look also in the passage that Steve read, and you're hearing a moment ago, in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 30. These are the words of Simeon in the temple as little baby Jesus was brought into the temple. He says, "My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Now, these are some fairly significant words that are being spoken about the son of Mary. These are words describing a series of events that would change the world. And it was Mary's son that was going to fulfill that transformation. She would be the mother of this child, and no other mother before or since would ever occupy the same position that she occupied in that role. However, even though she occupied a very unique place, every mother plays a similar role, if a smaller role, in determining the future direction of civilization. Every mother has the potential of impacting the destiny of the human race, perhaps not in the same capacity that Mary, the mother of Jesus, did, but in a very significant way. And to illustrate this, I'd like to draw your attention to a young woman. In the year 1731, this woman, named coincidentally Mary, and this is a true story, by the way, in that year, 1731, she was 22 years old, and she married a much older widower, and together they had five children. Sadly, 13 years after their marriage, he died, leaving her with the children. She never remarried. But Mary was determined to make the best of the little family that she had, and so she ran the farm and she homeschooled the kids on her own. She drilled into these children a strong sense of morality and civic duty and humility and courage and perseverance, all the qualities that every mother would want to instill in their own children. And she had to do this by herself while running the family farm. Now, you might say, well, that's great. What did she accomplish with that? Her firstborn was 11 years old when his dad died. And so Mary, his mother, pretty much raised him through those troublesome adolescent years and into young adulthood by herself. You probably know her firstborn, George Washington, the father of our country. In fact, later in life, Washington said that he called his mother, "My revered mother, by whose maternal hand, early deprived of a father, I was led to manhood." He looked back on his mother as being the guiding hand that helped him become the man that he eventually became. And now a whole nation acknowledges her handiwork. She is the one that almost single-handedly gave our country, the one who made the country possible. It is true that women can, in the workplace, make all kinds of widgets. They can make profits for the companies that they work for. But most of these things are going to be forgotten in a generation. But the women who, in the home, raise their children are making citizens who can change the course of history. Mary Washington demonstrated that, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, demonstrated that as well. And young mothers, you don't know, but what you might be doing something similar in the raising of your children today. Your work is critical. It is critically important that you do all you can to raise your children in the path that is true and good and right, because that is their destiny as human beings. And whatever the influence they might have on society, civilization, the human race, their own families in years to come is going to be largely determined by the work that you do in raising them under your care. And that is why it is just so dispiriting today to hear people belittle motherhood as a waste of a woman's talents. Young women, don't buy that line. That is not true. You have taken on, in becoming a mother, the greatest, most honorable task that God has ever given any human being. Take that seriously. Be proud of it. Recognize the excitement that is part of that task of raising your children. That brings us then to a second thing that raising children means, and that is, being a mother means the frustration of not understanding a child's behavior. Why do kids do the things they do? Child psychologists have been asking that question for a long time. It's just part of being human, I suppose. Look in Luke chapter 2, where we see a description here that is given of Jesus and his family in Jerusalem. They come to the temple for the feast day. And during the course of events, Jesus gets separated from his parents and he ends up in the temple. They're talking and discussing about the scriptures with the priests and Levites there. And then they finally find, his parents finally find him there. And notice what we read beginning in verse 48 of Luke chapter 2. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." Now underline that word anxiously. Mary in particular is distraught. She thinks she's lost her son. And of course, they finally find him, and there's a great deal of anxiety that was involved in that search. And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. This is not the first time in history, nor the last, that a parent doesn't understand what a child is doing. Mary and Joseph didn't understand what Jesus was doing here, or his explanation of what he was doing. And then it says in verse 51, "He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart," as every mother does. All of these little childhood experiences, a mother stores up in her heart because that is her treasure box of memories, of what her children mean to her. And so much of those memories are puzzles, things that a mother has a hard time really grasping or understanding. But later on, now what we just read here in Luke chapter 2 was when Jesus was 12 years old. But even after Jesus reached adulthood and began his ministry, there was still a disconnect between Jesus and his mother. Look at this passage in Mark chapter 3, beginning in verse 21. We're told that in the midst of Jesus' ministry now, he's going about performing miracles and the teaching and all these other things that he was doing. It says that when his own people heard about this, they went out to lay hold of him for, and note this, they said, "He is out of his mind." Well, who are his own people? We're told in verse 31, "His brothers and his mother came standing outside the house that he was in. They sent to him, calling him." Do you realize what's happening here? As Jesus is beginning his ministry, the very work that God sent him to this earth to do, his own mother looks at it and says, "Son, you're crazy." But didn't the angel tell Mary at the very beginning that her son was going to be this great glory of Israel and accomplish all these great things for mankind? Yes. But she couldn't connect the dots. She, I'm confident, was blinded by the same kind of preconceived prejudices that blinded most of the Jews of that day. They really could not comprehend the nature of the Messiah being what Jesus was demonstrating. They were expecting this great knight and shining armor, a great white horse swooping down from heaven and driving the Romans into the sea and all these grand glorious things happening. And that wasn't Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus' own mother didn't get it. She thought that he was crazy. He had gone mad. And she was trying to rescue her son from his delusions. And what mother at one point or another has not recognized that same problem in their children and tried to help them? Now, in this case, of course, Jesus' mother was the one that whose worries were simply unfounded. Jesus was right. He knew what he was doing. He was right on target. She had nothing to worry about. But many mothers have those frustrations, those worries, those anxieties about their children, and they really do have something to worry about. Because their children can be very thoughtless, very ignorant, very senseless, make some rather dumb decisions along the way, and it can be a hair-pulling experience trying to get kids to learn how to behave. Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1, "A foolish son is the grief of his mother." And every mother appreciates that, because
every child at one point or another is going to go through a foolish phase that is just going to drive a mom nuts. And it's your job as mother, hopefully with a father, to help train and guide and shape and mold that child out of that foolish stage and become a responsible adult. So frustration just comes with the territory, and mothers just have to accept that. I like the comment that Barbara Walters made regarding parenthood, or motherhood in particular, and I'll just make this side note. If you know anything at all about Barbara Walters' family life, you can understand this statement. She and her husband had one adopted daughter who gave them no end of trouble. And this came out of a description she made one time of her experience as a mother. She said that motherhood is tough. If you just want a wonderful little creature to love, you can go get a puppy. Children are not puppies. And it takes a tremendous amount of hard work to raise children. And nobody knows that more than a mother. And that brings us then to a third experience that is involved in being a mother, and that is the grief. Every mother feels all the pains, all the broken bones, all the broken hearts that their children experience. But Mary, the mother of Jesus, suffered the most horrible form of grief imaginable. Look at John chapter 19, verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Jesus' mother was standing there at the foot of the cross watching her firstborn son die. And this, he wasn't just dying to some horrible disease. She was experiencing or watching her son die as a condemned criminal. The most horrible, the most ruthless, the most brutal form of punishment that the powers that be could inflict upon one who had broken the laws of the land, that's what her son was going through. And she, all she could do was stand there and watch him die. Watch him suffer and die. It had to be the most horrible thing that she could have ever experienced in her life. If you saw the Lord of the Rings movies that Peter Jackson did a few years ago, you might recall, if you saw the second movie, there's a very poignant scene in there where King Theoden is having to bury his son who died in battle. And through his tears, he wept no parent should have to bury their child. And this is not just a work of fiction. In that thought, this character in this book, in this movie, is expressing the thought of every parent. No parent should have to bury their child. And yet, the reality of life is, it sometimes happens. There are people right here in this audience who have experienced the pain, the heartache, the tragedy of having to bury their own child. All of us, at one time or another, are going to experience the loss of loved ones. That's just part of life, isn't it? It's one thing to bury an aged parent. They've lived out their lives, they've done their service, we're proud of what they've done, and it's time to let them go. We get that. We understand it. It's easier to deal with the pain. But it's not easy at all when a parent has to lay into the ground a child, one younger than themselves. There's just no pain as deep and as hard as that of a mother losing her child. Even fathers don't quite have the same bond with children that mothers have. This is someone who came from their own flesh, and now they're having to let them go. And that's what Mary was experiencing there as she stood at the foot of the cross watching her son die. Now think about that. That means that when you become a mother, you expose yourself to all the pain that your children are going to experience. Every heartache, every skinned knee, every bruised ego, all the things that your children are just going to have to go through in this life, you are going to feel every bit of that. And it means that you take on the risk that you may have to bury that child yourself someday. And there will be a day of gloom and sadness and heartache beyond anything that you can imagine. If you know anybody who's been through that, or if you've been through that yourself, you know what we're talking about. The only way to deal with that kind of a loss is to realize that God Himself knows what it feels like to watch His child die. Is that what was happening here on the cross? It wasn't just Mary watching her son die. It was also God watching His son die. He knows what that is like. In that case, of course, God eventually made that tragedy right, did He not? He brought Jesus back from the dead. And someday, He will bring all of our tragedies. He will make those right as well. So if you're a mother, that means that you're going to experience all the grief and heartache that comes with being a mother. But let's be sure that we provide the complete picture here and look at the fourth and final thing that it means to be a mother, and that is an indescribable source of joy. A joy knowing that you did your job right. We're tracing the experiences of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and we want to end by looking at Acts chapter 1 and verse 14. This is after the crucifixion, after the resurrection. Mary now has the appreciation, the understanding of a grander plan that she was blind to before. And now her son that she watched so being brutally murdered on the cross now has come back from the dead. He's conquered death. This is the great victory that God had spoken of. And now she is a believer in Jesus along with her brothers, and she has a new perspective on her son that she did not have before. Her son died, but he was resurrected, and he was now in heaven. And with that, Mary could realize that all of the work, all the frustrations, all the tears that she had shed, all the anguish, all of that was part of a much broader master plan that she had never been able to realize before. Except now she knows that she played a crucial part in making that plan come to pass. And how did she do it? By being a mother. By doing all the things that come with that job description. Being a mother to the one who is going to save the human race. You know, the greatest reward that any mother can possibly have is to see her children grow up to be successful and happy, to be responsible fathers and mothers of children of their own. There's nothing that fills a woman's heart with greater joy and happiness than to see her children grow up like that. And it's largely going to be because of the effort that she has put into raising them. It's a big part of her life's work. Now let's wrap this up by looking back on that scene at the cross. We were describing a moment ago the story of Jesus on the cross, His mother standing there witnessing her son go through this horrible experience. But have you ever thought about the fact that one of the last things that Jesus did upon this earth was honoring His mother while He was hanging there on the cross? Look in John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27. When Jesus therefore saw His mother and the disciple whom He loved standing by, He said to His mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then He said to the disciple, generally believed to be the Apostle John, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. As a firstborn son, Jesus now was exiting the picture. He would no longer be around to take care of His mother. So He turned the care of His mother to John. He took care of her. But I want you to stop and think about the significance of what is going on here. Jesus, in hanging there on the cross and going through this horrible experience, was busy saving the world in a way that no other man has ever been called on to do. It's a pretty big task. But Jesus was not too busy to dedicate a few minutes to His mom. She had an enormous influence in His earthly life. And it was only right, it was only proper that here at the very end that he take the appropriate steps to make sure that she was cared for. At that moment, Mary knew that all of her labor had not been in vain. And mothers today, understand that your work is not in vain either. Take it seriously. Do the best you can. Recognize that there's good and bad that comes with this task of being a mother. That's just part of human life. But recognize in the broader scheme of things the great and honorable task that you are doing in raising your children into adulthood. And the rest of us need to appreciate them for that work that they do. You're here this morning and you need to respond to the Lord's call. If there's anything that we can do to help you, either in being a better parent or in just getting your soul, your spirit right with God, I encourage you to come forward and express your need as we stand and sing the invitation song, "Won't You Come?"